No, if you don't realize they're not, that's good singing right there. Amen. You can't buy that at Walmart. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Brother Todd and Ashley and Elizabeth and John. What a blessing. Take your Bibles tonight and go back with me to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And we're going to pick up where we left off this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I wonder how many of you, when you got home today, you kind of stewed over the sermon a little bit and thought about some of those needs in your life. Anybody besides myself? Now here's what I want to figure out. I want to be able to discern the difference between my needs and my wants. Does that make sense? I've got to determine what is a need, a legitimate need, and what is just a want. But you know what? Sometimes, if we trust God for our needs, every now and then He'll give us what we want. Amen. Every now and then He'll give us what we want. And some things we ask for we really don't need, and then He holds them back because they'd do us more harm than good. Amen. But tonight, I want to talk about how we need to go about getting those needs met. Would you be interested if I could tell you that there is a way to get everything you need from God? Would you be interested in that? Somebody said, I need a job. Reckon God knows where there's one at? Brother Danny Wynn has been having some serious health problems. He's swelling up. I mean, his head's been swollen up, but his fingers are swelling, his feet, his tongue nearly choked him. It swelled so much this week he had to go to the hospital. It's been happening on and off for like 3 years, and they can't figure it out. I bet God knows. I bet God knows exactly what's causing things. What I'm saying is let's find out what we need to do to tap that resource that God has. Amen. The Bible said we could enter boldly into the throne of grace to find what? Help when? In our time of need. In our time of need. We're needy people, and God knows how to take care of them. Look at verse number 3. I'm not going to read the whole story again. But the Bible said that the Lord said to Elijah, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And then he goes on and tells him, I'm going to have the ravens feed you there. They're going to bring you bread and flesh in the morning. They're going to bring you bread and flesh in the evening, and you'll drink from the brook. And I don't think Elijah argued with the Lord. What God was telling Elijah was what God wanted Elijah to do. Number one, to get what you need from God, you must have faith in His will for your life. Can I say it again? You must have faith in God's will for your life. Elijah, go to the creek. I'm going to have some crows come by and feed you day and night. Okay. Joshua, I want you to take the men and the children of Israel, and I want you to go to Jericho. I don't want you to take any weapons. All I want you to do is put them preachers out front, let them bear the ark and get the trumpets of ram's horns, and I want you to march around that city 7 days, and on the seventh day I want you to march 7 times, and when you get done marching that seventh time on the seventh day, I want you to shout real loud, and the place is going to fall apart. Okay. He didn't question God. Now be honest with you, it didn't make good sense. Sometimes God will ask you to do something with your life or in your life that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, it seemed kind of foolish. This is the greatest city in the land of Canaan. It has great walls all the way around it. You remember the Israelites said, "We're but grasshoppers in their sight. Man, these guys are giants." And God says, "I want you to go take that city, but don't take any weapons, and just walk around it 7 days. And when you get done walking, shout a while." Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? But do you know nothing makes more sense than doing exactly what God said to do? Elijah, go to the brook, Cherith. I want you to just stay there and the crows are going to come feed you. Yeah, right. But somehow Elijah must have had faith in what God was choosing for his life. Elijah must have really believed. God had must have proven himself to this prophet enough times that he knew God knew what he was doing.
Amen.
And did you know that if God knew what he was doing with Elijah, he knows what he's doing with you?
Amen.
Sometimes our will and God's will are two different animals. We get on our face and we pray and ask God, "God, show me the will. Show me your will for my life." And then when He does, we had something totally different in mind.
Yeah, right.
Can I get a witness right there?
Yeah.
Amen. Preachers, you better listen tonight. You better be careful getting on your face.
Yeah.
Making those crazy promises to God. "I'll do whatever you ask."
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Be careful.
Yes, sir.
You better mean it. Oh, but God, I wasn't thinking nothing about being no missionary.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. If God's will for your life is to be a missionary in the jungles of Africa, living off of monkey meat, if that's God's will for your life, that is the only place where your needs will be sustained
met.
That's
a good question, brother.
Can I say that again? Let me carry that a little bit further. If that's God's will for your life, you would be more happy in the jungles in Africa eating monkey meat than you would laying on a beach in Jamaica somewhere. Amen. You better listen to me. Hey, there's no happiness, there's no joy, there is no fulfillment outside of God's will for your life.
Yeah. Amen.
Preacher, I thought you was going to tell me how to get what I need. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Amen.
You're going to have to increase your faith in God's will for your life. Preachers, did God call you or not?
Come on, brother.
Did God call you or not?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? I know it's not God's will for everybody to pastor. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's God's will for every preacher to be an evangelist. But I believe it is God's will for every preacher to preach.
Yes, sir.
Amen. In other words, it's not enough to know God's will. We're going to have to cross the line and do God's will. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about going full time in the ministry. I'd been at the church, what, maybe 2 years, Brother Charles, somewhere in that neighborhood, and we'd grew up to over 100, and the Lord began to deal with my heart. And I remember praying about that thing, and here's what I said to God. And this is where most of our problems come when it's concerning the will of God for our life. I pray, I wasn't trying to be silly. I said, "God, I know you want me to go full time, but I can't afford it. And the church can't afford it." I said, "God, I've got a bass boat. And I just bought a brand new engine. I was talking about $8,000 for a motor. I just borrowed $8,000 to put a new motor on that boat. God, I got a new home. God, I've got a Z71. God said, "I didn't buy all that stuff."
Yeah, that's good right there, bro.
Now, do you really want my will for your life? Is that really what you want? God didn't tell me to sell my bass boat. God didn't tell me to sell my house. God didn't tell me to sell my truck. But I knew what was standing in between the will of God for my life.
Yeah.
Amen. Sorry, old boat, but you got to go.
Yeah.
Sorry, truck, but you got to go.
That's good,
amen.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because I wanted to not only know the will of God for my life, but I wanted to do it.
Yes.
And I wanted to walk in it.
Yes,
trusting that God knows what's best for your life. And being willing to submit to His will even when you don't understand it. I'm talking about getting your needs met. Some of you, God has dealt with you about doing different things and working in different areas, and you're not doing it, and you're wondering why you're going without. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I know we're not shouting and swinging from the chandeliers, but I'm trying to tell you how to, hey, just start doing what you're supposed to be doing. You do not reward rebellious children. Come on, parents, talk to me. You don't, do you? If you tell them when I get home from work I want your bedroom clean or the grass cut or whatever it is, and you come home and the bed's still unmade and the dirty clothes laying everywhere and the grass is that high, you don't say, thank you so much for disobeying me, I'm taking you to Pizza Hut. Am I right about it? But when you come home and that child has done everything you asked them and done it to the very best of their ability, if you don't reward that kid, you're a bad parent. And I don't mean reward is always money. Sometimes it's just a hug and a thank you, and Daddy appreciates you being obedient. Amen? Amen. You think God's any different? I believe with all my heart. I'm as blessed as I am. And I have what I've got. I'm a mess, man. But I'm simply doing what God told me to do. I'm by the brook. And the ravens are coming day in and day out and bringing to my necessity because I have faith in God's will for my life. Somebody said, have you ever considered quitting? Of course I have. I just know it ain't right. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know if I go away from that, it's going to bring nothing but misery to my home. Yes. Amen. To get our needs met, we must have faith in God's will for our life. Number two, look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. He said, arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I said, number one, we ought to have faith in God's will for our life. Number two, we're going to have faith in God's ways. We're going to have faith. If we want our needs met, we're going to have to trust God knows what He's doing. Yes. Amen. Yes. I mean, you just think about it for a minute. Imagine how Elijah felt when his brook dried up. You ever been there? Now, God, I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Why come there ain't no water? Yeah. Oh, I know you're so spiritual. You don't pray like that, but I do. Yeah. God, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, why come I'm without here? And why come I'm without there? And sometimes God will dry the brook up to move you further into His will for your life. Yeah. That's profound, whether you realize it or not. Brother Rusty Adams sitting here tonight, on fire for God, excited, his marriage together, both his young'uns been saved since they've been here and baptized. You know what got him there? No job. Down on their luck and hurting. Marriage just about to fly apart. What's happened? For God to move him from point A to point B where He wanted him to be, God had to cut the creek off. Amen. Sometimes we just need to understand, okay, God, I may not like this situation. It may be a little bit uncomfortable right now, but I know You know what You're doing. Perfect example in the entire Bible is Joseph. Joseph is nothing but a faithful, obedient son doing exactly what Daddy told him to do. He has this dream. He tells his brothers get jealous. You know what they said? Ain't no way, buddy. It'd be a cold day in the booger man's house before we bow down to you. That's what they thought. And that's what they said. He was going to check on his brother one day and they said, behold, the dreamer coming. They got them a plan together. And they throwed that boy in a pit. He's done nothing wrong. Everything he's done has been right. But they put him in a pit. There is no way in Joseph's mind that he can know that there's a palace waiting on him in Egypt. There's no way he can know that. But the God who allowed the pit to come in his life knew where he was going. And they sold him, to pull him up out of the pit, and sold him into slavery. He was a servant in a man by the name of Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accused him of coming on to her. He left his coat in her hand and took off running. For that, they put him in prison. And lo and behold, Brother Freddie, why he's in prison? The king's chief butler and his baker were there in jail. And them boys had a dream. And old Joseph said, I can tell you what them dreams mean. And he told them what their dreams meant. And he said, now y'all remember me when you get out of here. Put in a good word's what he's saying. You know what? They forgot. I think he stayed, was two or three more years in prison? A couple years. Two more years he stayed. Two more years laying in a jail cell. All he's done was be obedient to God. He has gone from a pit to Potiphar's house. Now he's in prison. But then one day, I forgot which one the king killed, one of the baker or the butler, one of the two, one of them, the one that didn't die, the king had a dream 2 years later. And the king said, man, he got everybody together and said, what's this dream mean? And a light went off in that old boy's head. He said, there's a guy down there, he says, a Hebrew, down there in jail that we is in prison with, and that guy, he king, you wouldn't believe what he can do with a dream. Man, you need to get him up here. He'll tell you what your dream means. Sure enough, he got Joseph up there and he said, Joseph, here's what my dream was. What's it mean? He said, well, here's what it is, king. He said, you fixed to have 7 good years. 7 good years. Man, your crops are going to be double. They're going to yield double what they normally would. He said, man, you're going to have 7 good years. And I bet the old king's going, I hear you, man. He said, but then there's going to be 7 bad years. He said, my advice to you, king, was during these 7 years, I'd be putting up some grain. Sure enough, it came to pass just like he said. You know what the king did? The king put him on the throne down there in Egypt. And them brothers that throwed him in that pit, there's a famine in the land. The only place there is to get anything to eat is in Egypt. You know why? Because those 7 years they put that grain up. 7 years, they had plenty. Those brothers had to come and buy corn. Guess who they had to see to get the corn? The brother they sold. You know what they had to do, Brother Jay? They had to bow. And Joseph played a little game with them, you know, go get my little brother. And back and forth they went, you know. The Bible said when he could no longer refrain himself. I believe that's Genesis chapter 45. When he could no longer refrain himself, he said, cause every man to go out from me. Amen. And he made himself known to his brothers. And you know what it did? It scared the daylights out of them. And he said, it's okay, boys. Here's what he told them. He said, you meant this to me for evil. He said, but God meant it for good. Looking back on your life now, where you are today, can you see some areas in your life that you did not understand what was going on and you questioned God, God, why this, why that? And all now you can look back and see that that was necessary for God to get you where you are now. There must be faith in the will of God for our life, but there must be faith in the ways of God. The Bible said His ways are past finding out. You ain't going to figure Him out. But I tell you what you can do. You can trust Him. Okay, God, I'm here for a reason. Yep. Now, here's how I pray sometimes. Now, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. It ain't comfortable, and I don't like it. So show me the reason quick so we can move on. I'm serious. I've told God that a million times. Lord, I don't really like this situation. I don't really like this spot. Show me what it is you're trying to teach me. Show me what it is. Get me to where? Get me to the good part. Get me where we're going. Amen. Sometimes in this Christian walk, I feel like a kid in the backseat of the car on the way to Florida. Are we there yet? 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 Amen. You need some needs met. Maybe you need to increase your faith in God's will for your life. Trust Him. trusting, 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 trusting. You said, preacher, our marriage is a little rocky. Listen, you gonna marry that boy? It's got bad days ahead. It's coming. That's any marriage, though. And what you're gonna have to do is put faith in the fact that this is God's will for your life. And say it may be tough right now, but if we stick it out, it'll get better. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thirdly, there must be faith in the work of God. Verse number 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Would you put yourself in this little widow woman's place for a minute? There's a bad famine in your town. There's no food. All you've got is just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And you're out gathering up some sticks. I mean, this is your plan. This is your heart. This is what you're about to do. You're going in and you're just going to make a little hoe cake. Pancake, if you will. You're going to go make a little piece of bread. And you and your little son's going to eat it. And then you're just going to lay down and die. And here comes this cocky preacher. While she's actually gathering the sticks. And he said, ma'am, what are you doing? She said, I'm gathering little sticks and I'm fixing to cook a little cake. Cook me some first. No, you don't understand. We've only got this little bit of meal. We've only got this little bit of oil. She said, me and my son, we're going to eat this and we're going to die. He said, okay. That's what he said. Fine. But fix me some first. He didn't say, you're not going to die. He said, okay, fix me some first. Do everything you said, but fix me some first. Any lady in this room would look me in the eye and say, you must be outside your head. You out of your mind, preacher. I ain't doing that. But you know what? He told her, God said, that if you do this, if you'll fix that cake and you'll feed me first, God said that your meal ain't going to run out. And that little old bottle of oil you got, it's just going to keep pouring and 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 pouring till the day God sends rain. He said, that's what God said. She said, okay, fine.
Amen.
You know what she believed in? She believed in the work of God.
Yes.
She believed what Ephesians said, that God was able to perform His will. I'll be honest with you, I've prayed a lot about this economy and this economic situation. But I just believe God's going to handle it. He may not for the rest of the world, but I believe He's going to take care of it for us. We're just going to have to learn we need Him. And we can't fix this, amen? And we're going to have to trust Him. We're going to have to put more faith in His will for our life. We're going to have to put more faith in the ways in which God's working. You know what? Old Rusty sitting there got a better job than he had. Got a better job than what he had. In the middle of a recession. Sets on his rear end, don't do nothing. He's got it made. But he had to go through that hard spell. Get where he is. We're going to have faith in God's ways. Then we're going to have faith in God's work. Didn't make sense. He said, do it. Here's what the Lord said. Okay. And you know what God did? God did exactly what He said. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Thirdly or fourthly, wherever I'm at, there must be faith in the Word of God. There must be faith in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible to the Lord? Come on, y'all looking at me goofy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But God, You said... God, You said, I could do all things. God, You said I could cast my care on You.
Yes.
God, you said if I'd have faith.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're going to have to trust this thing, man.
Amen.
You know why so many people are trying to fix it? They don't trust it. Oh, this word should be this, and this word, no, this word should be what it is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. We're not going to fix God's word to suit us.
Amen.
We need to fix us to suit Him.
Amen.
Well, I don't like all the these and thous. No, you just don't trust the word of God.
Amen.
Y'all don't die on me.
Yeah.
I'm saying we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. We need to just trust what He said and do what He said. And you know what? He'll do what He said.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I believe this book. I believe it with all my heart. When I told that lady on that airplane the other day, when she was asking me, were we in the tribulation? I said, ma'am, if I disappear out of this plane, you'll know we're in the tribulation. I believe that. Oh, I've ran into these fellas throughout the years. Oh, we're going halfway through and all that. You can. I'm going on the first load. Amen. Ha ha. I believe in the premillennial return of the Lord, the rapture of the church. Why do you believe that? Because I believe His book. I'll just throw something at you and we'll go on. But you read all that stuff about the tribulation in Revelation, it don't start till after Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. When there's a door in heaven open and a voice saying, come up hither. That sound like 2 Thessalonians to you?
Amen.
That's us going out. Hey, and you know what? You don't see the church no more. Through all that junk going on, she's gone, brother.
Amen.
Amen. People are so confused today doctrinally. Why don't they just get the Bible out? Why don't they just read the book? See what God said.
Amen, brother.
Scripture upon Scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have faith in the Word of God. Amen. Listen, Brother Tom brought me the total for the offering today. I don't even want to tell y'all what it is. We got about a $5,500 a week budget. I got some stuff in my pocket. $2,600. That's pitiful. It won't be long. Guess keeps up. I won't be able to cash my paycheck. I'm just going to wallpaper the house with them or something. But you know what? I ain't worried about it. I'm praying every day. Don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't care, I do care. But see, I go back 10 years ago, 11 years ago, however long it's been, that morning we all came over here. And while them men walked around and looked at this building, I sat in that balcony right there and God said, you're home. I said, but God, it's $4 million. He said, I didn't ask you how much it was, I said, you're home. Now if He said come, I believe He can supply. Amen. I hope y'all all right.
Amen.
We got to have faith in the work of God, but then we got to have faith in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Get you a good word from God. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Let me give you one more. Verse number 17. Well, I turned my Bible. Hang on. Verse number 17 of 1 Kings 17. The Bible said it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon this widow, or the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." There must be faith in the wonder of God. We must never get to a place where He ceases to amaze us.
Amen.
Does He still blow your mind every now and then? I prayed for God to heal Ashley from the day they said they found a lump and wasn't even sure what it was. Prayed every day. Boy, when they said it was cancer, I kept praying. But y'all don't get sideways with me, but I had doubts. When they didn't even know what kind of cancer it was, then they said it spread to her brain and then her lungs and just all over. I said, "Oh God." I even got a little upset with Him a time or two with the Lord. I did. Brother Freddie tried to tell me about halfway through that thing. God gave him peace about it. Boy, I didn't have no peace. Boy, when she come in and handed me that report, I read the doctor's report from this pulpit. I couldn't say nothing but wow. Wow. And I know that's a big thing. But He still amazes me in the little things.
Yes.
Brother Don came in this morning, and I think y'all take this for granted. Brother Don come in this morning and said, "Brother Eddie, had one of the boys I really had a burden for got saved in my class this morning."
Yeah.
Woo! That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. They come in and said, "We had two saved out here." That's amazing.
Yeah.
We ought to be awestruck,
yes, sir,
with the wonder working of our God.
Amen.
He's still a miracle God. That ain't just Old Testament stuff. He is still a miracle God,
yes,
today. Amen?
Amen?
He said, "Preacher, I got some serious needs." Well, how much faith have you got in the will of God for your life? In other words, what are you doing? Are you know the will of God, but are you walking in it? Are you doing what God's asked you to do? Do you really believe God knew what He was doing when He called you to preach, when He asked you to teach a Sunday school class, when He asked you to take a bus route? Sometimes when we sit down on God, we are literally looking Him in the face and saying, "You don't have a clue what you're doing." Because if you really believe God knew what He was doing, you'd be getting after it. Well, what if everything don't go my way? Newsflash, it ain't gonna. It ain't gonna. This world don't revolve around you. And by the way, the work of God that you're involved in, it ain't about you either. So your biggest problem is you. You need to get you out of the way. And get busy in the will of God for your life and have faith in it. Amen?
Yeah.
And then we need to put our faith in the ways of God. Even though it may seem weird, it may seem like God's taking us the long way around the barn to get where we're going, just trust Him.
Amen.
Just trust Him. Man, I look back across my life and I can see where He just moved me like checkers on a checkerboard.
Yes.
From here to here and this to,
yes,
that and through this and through that and over this and under that and,
whew,
this battle and that battle and this fight and that fight, but they were all coming closer, 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 closer to where He wanted me to be. Amen? So put your faith in the ways of God. Put your faith in the work of God. Put your faith in the Word of God. Some of you got some needs right now. You know what you need? Before you get your need met, you need to find you a Word. Don't look at me goofy. Find you a Scripture. It's amazing to me how many decisions we make for our life and we have no Scripture for it. Y'all okay tonight? I'm talking about, boy, find you a need. Find you a verse that meets that need. And quote that thing. Put it on a post-it note. Stick it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your rearview mirror of your car. And quote that verse over and 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 over. Amen. Get you a good word from God. I don't know how many days I've lived on one. And quote that thing over and over and over and over. And sure enough, God would hear it. And God would act. Amen. Don't lose faith in the wonder of God. You ever walk out in the yard at night and look up and just go far out? Isn't he amazing? What kind of idiot could stare at that and say, oh, it was just an explosion did all this? Where's Brother Greg? You spent all that time over in Iraq. Did you see any explosions over there? Any of them make planets? New race of people or nothing like that? Grand Teton Mountains or oceans and rivers? No. You don't get beauty from explosion. You get destruction from explosion. You ought to just look up and go, Lord, you are something. I floated through them bayous over there in Louisiana with the alligators and some of the biggest. These bullfrogs stretch all the way across this pulpit. I didn't know they made frogs that big. They eat frog legs, look like chicken legs. But I went through them big old cypress swamps and bayous. And I thought, Lord, man, you're an artist. Amen. That's what you are, God. You're just an artist. This is beautiful. Amen. Don't lose the wonder of it. Watch what he's doing in your life. Rusty, you'll just look at your wife every now and then and just go, wow, I can't believe this.
Amen.
I can't believe this.
Yes, sir,
we're still married.
Amen.
I can't believe we didn't bust up. I can't believe both our kids are on their way to heaven when they die.
Amen.
Don't get over what he's done.
Right,
now, how many of you got some needs? Why don't we go on this altar tonight and reaffirm our faith in His will for our life? Maybe you ought to just come and tell Him, say, God, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm waiting by the brook, but the ravens hadn't come. I'm waiting on that bread and flesh, Lord. I'm trusting in Your will. I'm trusting in Your ways. I know I've done nothing for weeks and months maybe, but gripe and complain. But God, I'm going to trust and put faith in what You're doing and even how You're doing it. Well, Brother Todd, y'all come if you would. What my little brother thought was a tragedy so far has been one of the biggest blessings in our lives in a long time. We had been so many years without seeing each other. I didn't even know where he was. When my phone rang and I answered, I didn't even know who he was. Tears and broken. I don't know since that day. It's been several months. But I don't know since that day if there's been a day that we haven't spoke at least once. What seemed like a bad thing wasn't but a week after it, this little girl, Autumn, she got saved.
Amen.
She was right down there in that Patch Club on a Wednesday night.
Hallelujah.
And Miss Kim sent me up a letter, and this is what it said. It's in my Bible. She said, Brother Eddie, Autumn wants to pray with you. She wants to get saved, but she won't pray with anybody but you. As soon as I got out of church, boy, me and Autumn went in my office. She trusted Jesus as her Savior.
Amen.
We're going to have to learn to trust. God knows what He's doing. Amen. I got some needs too, church. Let's pray together. God would meet our needs according to His riches and glory. Now, when you look at it that way, according to His riches, my, my. We don't even have big needs, do we? They're all small. Let's stand to our feet tonight. God, dealing with your heart. If you need this altar, you come tonight. It's okay to tell God when you have a need. Just mind the Lord. Y'all go ahead and sing whenever you're ready.